Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Are You Having a Draft? My name is Bradley James, and this is a podcast about a fantasy football league that me and my idiot friends decided to begin several years ago, following prizes and punishments and general embarrassment, until one day my friend Marcus,
hello,
decided that we were going to do a podcast about it. Been away for a little while, but just in time for Christmas, here is our next episode. Let's get on with it. Hello, drafters. We're back. It's been a minute because a few of us have been busy and it's been difficult to get a podcast together, hasn't it, Marcus?
It has. The busyness on top of, obviously, the restrictions that keep changing, getting people in the same place at the same time has been almost impossible. But I'm excited that we've managed to Zoom on this Saturday afternoon and do a Draftmas special.
We're keeping it simple. It's just you and me, buddy. Just like the old days.
Old school. Keeping it real.
And there's quite a bit to talk about because we dropped all those episodes. So is that what we've been doing? Dropping episodes? We dropped
it's
all
the kids
episodes.
Say.
Yeah. And at the start of the season, then myself went into a busy place. Marcus always pretends to be busy. And Melaleu, as we discussed, only edits when he's winning.
That's what we should have just opened with. We should have opened with, look, sorry, we've been away. And Melaleu only edits when he's winning.
We are here to give you a little bit of an update as to what's going on in the draft. Let's start with the big news. People on Instagram, thankfully Instagram has been keeping everybody up to date. People on Instagram will be aware that Andy O'Neill's prediction has come true.
Ooh.
Andy O'Neill's prediction in the interviews at the start of the season was that we were not going to finish the season with the same, I can't remember if he said the same number of drafters or the same drafters that we started with.
Same squad.
Yeah. We have had a handing over of a franchise in the form of the Super Keen Bromacticos are no more. So, Marcus, what do the Houston Oilers, Wimbledon FC, and the Seattle Supersonics all have in common?
Apart from the niche referencing point, I'm not entirely... Oh, I think I know. Shall I have a guess?
Yeah, that's why I asked you the question.
Okay. I think they've all changed... I don't know what the wording would be, ownership or changed hands.
You're basically in the ballpark. We are talking sports. The Houston Oilers are now the Tennessee Titans. Wimbledon FC are now MK Dons. And the Seattle Supersonics are, they must be OKC, Thunder. The Super Keen Bromacticos are now Olympique Network.
Now... they've gone from one good name to another good name. I was intrigued by the names that you just talked about, particularly the American ones, but I like the new name, Olympique Network. And Bradley, who is the new owner of the franchise?
The man taking charge of his old team, Olympique Network, is a man who networks at an Olympic standard. He is phenomenal. You should see him in action. It's partly because he's a lovely bloke. It's also because he retains information with people and is able just to dip into a conversation with someone on a topic that they have an interest in, and he's able just to jump in there and start talking about it, he'll remember what people's interests are. And he's got the energy and this bounce about him. He is a networker of Olympic standard. His name is Chike Okonkwo, and he's back.
I feel like he's always been there or thereabouts. I remember last season, he was still in the WhatsApp group, even though he wasn't in the league, because he loves it that much.
He even did an episode for us last season.
Yeah, it was great to have him. I'm looking forward to having him back in the draft, and I'm going to see if all of this listening to the podcast and being almost like an undercover spy, really, in the WhatsApp group, will actually manage to boost Olympique Network up the league, because they're currently sitting in eighth.
Interesting to see what he'll do, because he's... Oh, eighth. That must be off after last night's games.
Yeah, there's been a little shift. I don't want to blow my own trumpet or anything, but Wedding Crashers FC have gone up a position.
Ooh, and as I look, Liberators have gone down a position. So I'm glad I looked at the updated table. Anyway, Chike has inherited the bag of spanners, as described by Daniel Mutlow, that Matthew Brummett drafted for him. I'd be very interested to see what he does. We're going to touch on the subject matter of his options a little bit later. But we welcome Chike back. We welcome everybody back, essentially, because we've been away and we're so pleased to have you with us. That's the big news. To Matthew Brummett, we say farewell, but not goodbye. I feel this may not be the last we see of Matthew Brummett. So don't worry, drafters. We say a big hello to Chike Okonkwo. He's back with us. We're looking forward to seeing what he's going to do with that team. Marcus, should we get the listeners up to date on what's been going on in the league table?
Yes, let's. Okay, so down at the bottom of the table, the foot of the draft.
Ah, good. I'm glad we're going that way because it means we get to me a lot sooner.
Starting at the foot of the table, we have the Kitchen Crusaders, managed by Medir Llewellyn, with 328 points.
Meds has made a big move. I foresee next season being a huge season for Meds. A banner year, they might say.
Just hovering slightly above the Kitchen Crusaders is Evil FC, managed by Peter Everill with 343 points.
15 points he's got on Meds there. Battle of the Titans at the bottom. Battle of the Titans of the Kitchen, you might say. Two people who know the kitchen, that experience in it.
And I think no surprise with Pete's long-term goals, there's not a huge amount of surprise. I think he's building for the future with the Legacy League in mind.
To he and Meds, both two drafters who I don't think you'll be seeing them in those positions next season.
Agreed.
One drafter you might be seeing in this possession next season.
At unlucky for some, number 13 in the league is Liberators FC, managed by Bradley James, with a 385 points.
Sounds worse than it is. No, it sounds just about as bad as it is, I think.
I think you're right, because you're still about 40. I think you're still about 42 points above Pete. So you're
I'm due a big climb, mate. I'm happy where I am. I'm due a very big climb here.
Good. And after last night's West Ham game, Pipe Dreamers FC, appropriately managed by Neil Dutton, have gone up to 12th with 393 points.
Mm. Yeah. Dutton's had a bit of a struggle this year because he's had a crap draft. And if I finish below Dutton, I'll be disappointed with myself.
Okay.
I think Dutton's got one of the worst teams in the league.
Well, Trent's back.
Liverpool. But Liverpool aren't Liverpool last season.
I'm just trying to find the positive. I'm looking at his team, trying to find the positives. Sorry,
I am. No. People don't want to hear positives. People don't want to hear positives. Negatives that we can relate to, so that we know that Dutz's life is worse than ours. In his pool, being delivered sausages every waking moment of the day.
Hovering about 30 points above Neil Dutton is in 11th position is Narrowboat Lough Union, managed by James Robinson, with 423 points.
Jammer. He'll be pleased with that. He was rock bottom at the start of the season.
Which shows how close it is. I think this season's going to be a close run affair.
Yeah, I agree.
And when we get to the top, well, I'm trying to be positive with it in the sense of the top 10, because I'm in the top 10, but certainly when we get to the top five, we'll see how really close it is. Just above that, going into the top 10, talking of the top 10, is Malulu's FC, managed by Matthew Melaleu, with 453 points.
Melaleu, who, for my money, drafted the worst first round pick of anybody, yet the rest of his team's coming through and he's got a strong team overall. Even though he managed to screw up his first pick, the rest of his boys are coming through for him.
Yeah, he's got a really good squad here. Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. He's got Grealish, Cavani.
Got in there first before anybody with Benteke last week, after Benteke scored two goals.
Yes, and we were talking about it on the draft as well, and people were hovering a bit, I think.
Everyone trying to poke someone into signing Benteke. Yeah. He's been a bit of a punchline for many a season now due to his performance in front of goal. Scores two goals, everyone's like, he's going to do it, he's going to do it. While everyone was like, Aaron, Melaleu gets in there, signs him.
His first week, he's got him on the bench.
Well, it is still Benteke.
In ninth position, the Tublovian Rude Boys, managed by Daniel Mutlow.
The new boy.
New boy Rude Boy is in ninth position with 464 points.
Just the, what's that, 79 points above me. So easy to make my way up to ninth.
Well, you say this, and this is because we're getting into this top section now, and we still haven't heard my name. So we're getting into this.
9 points, and I'd only still get up to ninth. That is depressing. Okay.
Getting into this top now, you'll start to see how close the points are.
Yeah.
And bear in mind that last week, Johnny Wolf got 72 points. That's how quickly things can change in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just above Tublothian Rude Boys, as mentioned earlier, we have Olympique Network, managed by Chike Okonkwo, with 466 points. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in his first week back in the draft, Bradley.
Smack bang in the middle of the table. Interestingly, in that position, you've sort of got a decision to make, whether you want to go for it or hang back. Again, we will touch on this interesting subject matter later. And specifically, the one option that you have that can make that decision for you.
The suspense is killing me. Now,
who we got just above Chico's top half of the table we're going into now, Marcus?
Well, what an exciting number seven we have. Lucky for some, looking for Weddy Crashers FC. Lucky for me, I'm seventh, top half of the table with 470 points, feeling positive going into the game week.
You had an excellent week last week as well.
I had a very good week last week.
You had one man who bagged you 18 points by himself. That is your trade acquisition, Wilfred Zaha.
I've never been so excited for a Crystal Palace match in all of my life.
We keep teasing it, but we're going to touch on that subject matter later on. Who have we got in sixth, Marcus, just above you?
Sixth place, the man with all the predictions, Andy O'Neill, manager of Lady Online FC, with 471 points.
Only 1 point above you, mate.
Yeah, and I've got I'm on his tail. That's the word. I'm on his tail this week.
Should point out these points that we're reading right now. The Friday night game has just happened. By the time you guys see this, I'll probably be top of the league because I'll have had such a good week. But there may be a few positions that have changed. And that is an example purely of just how close it is in this mid-table. Because if you look at 12 points above Andy O'Neill, who have we got then?
12 points above Andy O'Neill, we've got the reigning champion, manager of Supermarket Sweepers, Nick Morgan, with 483.
Holding steady in that classic second album season.
I knew you were going to say second album.
He's managing to hold it together. Following that, we've had a man who had a big week last week.
Huge week. As we mentioned, 72 points for the manager of Fairy Tale Erotica, Johnny Wolf, in fourth position with the same amount of points as Nick Morgan on 483.
Nick managed to scrape 2 points last night, so he's managed to get him level. Whether they finish game week 12 on the same points, I'm not so sure. But it is close, and it was a big week for Jonathan, who was probably down in, must have been around 10th, 9th or 10th the previous week, scored the highest game week, shot up into fourth, and is within touching distance of our man in third, the top three, which is looking steady for a few weeks. But Wolf is creeping up on one man in particular.
And that man is Yoro Jegbafume, manager of Cerebral Assassins with 494 points.
And that 11-point gap has been aided again by last night's game. Johnny still got all his players to play. Who knows? He might topple Yare going into next week. It's tight at the top.
I'm excited by this battle, though, as well, because Yare, as we know, was nowhere near this last season. We know that he's positive and confident, and he thinks he should be in that top three at all times. But we also know that the rivalry between Yare and Jonathan is fierce.
It is indeed. I think there's a case to be made as to whether Yare puts his money where his mouth is. And Yeah, we'll get into that later. So it leaves us with the top two. There's a bit of a gap here. The top two sort of running away with it. And I will point out that the top two own the top two players in the draft at the moment, which is Heung-min Son and Harry Kane. Those are the top two point scorers that you could have possibly drafted. That takes us into second position.
Change Name FC, managed by Phil Cairns, with 546 points. A man who hasn't experienced that level of success for quite a few years now, actually.
He has a wealth of knowledge of what it feels like to be in the catering zone. Didn't enjoy it. Went into draft day. Made some pretty bold moves in the trade market before a player was drafted, and it seems to be paying off for him.
Paying dividends. Yeah, he'd be very pleased with that. And now, topping the table, manager of Mental Dandies FC, Daniel Mantle, with a grand total of 577 points.
A mere 192 points above me. Easy. Easy.
And only 107 above me.
There is a gap formed from that top two. Son and Kane have played a big part in that, but they also have other players doing the business, and that is why they are top two.
How do you think, Bradley, the busy festive period will affect the top of the league?
Rotation comes into this. You look at drafters who have Man City players, drafters who may have been the victim of rotation, drafters who might have players who haven't played as much over the Christmas period might see those players play more. Tottenham, however, are very set in their way at the moment because it's working for them. And it's all on the shoulders of Kane and Son. And those are the two players making the biggest impact, not just in the league, but in the Are You Having a Draft draft as well. I suppose if you are Daniel or Phil, you're probably nervous about the schedule because of injuries. You're probably more nervous than if you're Phil, because Mantle doesn't tend to get injuries. He's had one or two, but he doesn't tend to get them. And I realize that that's me purposely flicking fate in the nose, but it is true. He does have a very good injury record.
You're sort of claiming that the injury thing is some sort of great tactical mastermind stroke of Mantle.
We all know it is. We all know it is.
I'm sure he'd be absolutely thrilled to hear that.
While we're all looking at the stats of goals and assists, he's there in every physio room in every club in the country getting the lowdown on every player.
You've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the legwork, and he's obviously doing it.
You want to win the draft, mate. You've got to put in the legwork, and that is exactly what Mantle has done. So that's the state of play. That's where we're at in the league table. Whilst positions can be quite damning when you read them out like that, I actually feel, as you mentioned before, this is going to be one of the closest seasons we've ever had, almost all the way through the table. Let's see how it goes, Marcus.
I'm really looking forward to this Christmas period. I think there's going to be a lot of changes. I'm really excited.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
About it. Let's go.
So, Marcus, at the beginning of this year, we embarked upon a legacy league. Not strictly legacy in terms of how some people would describe it, but we like the alliteration of legacy league. That's what we've called it. And the idea is, of course, the decisions that you make this year affect your teams in future seasons. It leaves a legacy, each one of those decisions. You are in charge of not just a team, but a club, a franchise, if you will. And so what has come into effect this year is that there is a lot more on the table in terms of trades, because usually in a season, trades could be very tough because everybody is essentially trading for the same thing, more points. They want more points that year. When a trade came about, it was because two people were guessing that a player that someone else had compared to a player that you had might do better comparatively. And you were hoping that someone else was prepared to say that the player that you had would do better than the player they had. It was very difficult because everyone had very similar opinions on each player and who was going to be better or worse. And the drafting had been done where people gave those opinions on which players they thought were going to be good or bad. And so trading became a little bit stiff. In legacy, you almost have different forms of currency that you can use. And in this case, you're not just talking about players getting points this season. You're talking about the potential for players to get points in future seasons. And you're also talking about draft picks for future seasons. This has changed the game, Marcus.
It has. We saw something happen very recently. I think what it is people don't, sometimes people don't like change.
Whose face immediately popped into your head out of the drafters when you were saying that sentence?
You know, we'll see. We'll touch on that as it gets. Some people don't like change. And I think sometimes it needs to have a big change happen and somebody takes advantage of that big change for everyone to, first of all, see what it's like, get upset about it, and then actually start using it to their own advantage.
There's been maneuvers made by drafters, which perhaps lead to the idea that certain drafters are maybe creating a different opportunity for themselves in a different season.
Yeah.
Let's take the trade that you and I made as an example.
So, as you mentioned earlier, I have last week's man of the moment, Wilfried Zaha, who was your top player.
Yeah, and still would be if he was in my team.
Still absolutely would be, especially after last week. And I feel like that he's going to take that confidence into the next few weeks up until and maybe running through Christmas, which would be brilliant. And for that, I give you three of my draft positions, draft picks, should I say, next season.
You did. We can break that down. Wilfried Zaha is listed as a midfielder, playing as a striker, one of those four leaf clovers in the game of a player who's been listed in a position that they're not actually playing in and benefiting because of it.
And as well as that, I've got Mane, who is essentially one of those as well.
Yeah, we've mentioned that Salah and Mane have gone for years basically playing as strikers and they've been listed as midfielders every year. I think because we realise that there's a Liverpool fan giving out the position status of each player, that must be the case.
And the bonus points.
So when you get those players They're great to have in your team. Strikers only get 4 points for goals as opposed to midfielders who get 5. And the reason being is that you would say that strikers have more of an opportunity to score goals and so they don't get as many points for them. However, when you have a striker who is listed as a midfielder, he's getting 5 points for each goal. Now, let's take us to Wilfried Zaha, who Marcus now owns. Marcus has given away some capital from next season in the form of draft picks, but he's done two things. One, he's taken on Wilfried Zaha, who's scoring goals and is one of the highest point scorers in the game at the moment. What he's also done is he's put Wilfried Zaha and his team in his 13th pick. And the value of that is huge because it means Wilfried Zaha will now be in his team for years to come without having to worry about making a decision as to whether to drop him because of player tax. We won't confuse you at this stage, drafters, but just be aware that you can't hold on to players forever. However, the further down your draft order they are, the longer you can hold on to them. Mm. And thus, why Marcus gave away picks 2, 3, and 4 to myself for Wilfried Zaha. There was a hell of a lot of noise. It was a scary new experience for some drafters. The WhatsApp group went berserk. It was
kicked right off.
Yeah. I mean, we can't repeat some of the things that were said, but it was a very enjoyable read, a very enjoyable experience to be involved in. Someone really lit a fire under the drafters in this particular moment. And I think what happened is it made drafters aware of the new possibilities to be taken advantage of.
Also, what it made people aware of, that some people are definitely in it for legacy and some people are definitely in it for season by season. I feel like I've got a really strong team now this season.
Well, you've made a statement of intent, Marcus. You essentially have said, look, I'm going for it this year. What's happened also is that you have set the cost of trades for other people, because every trade that is being discussed by other drafters, every trade I hear about, this trade is being used as a reference. And usually it's people trying to nefariously broker the right deal to get as high a price as they can or get as cheap a price as they can for the player they're trying to bring in. And you notice that where the narrative suits, they use the cost of Zaha. But you've set the market, Marcus. What you've done, Marcus, and what this trade has done, it has shown drafters the lengths they will need to go to win the draft. And there is fear there, because if you win the draft, there is a suggestion that you have to take a dent in the future of your team. And to be perfectly honest, that is how it should be. We as drafters should make sure that whoever wins this title has come through a baptism of fire to get to it. What you have done is you've set a price that now everybody else wanting to make a tilt for this season knows that the cost is going to be at least the standard that was set for Zaha. It also changes a little bit depending on who you are.
Cue character assassination.
We mentioned earlier, we've got two drafters who are out and away and in the lead. Whichever one of those, we're talking about Mantle, we're talking about Phil.
Yeah.
Whichever one of those makes a move first is going to have a huge advantage potentially winning the league. And the sooner they do it, the better for them.
You're talking about a trade move.
I am talking about a trade move.
Oh, I feel like you know something you're not telling me.
I just know that both of them are not offering enough to make that move at present. Let's put it this way. Mantle right now could just coast to the title. He wants everything to stay exactly where it is because he can simply coast to the title. So the ball is in Phil's court. Now, Phil needs to make a big move. Or not a big move, but he needs to make a move. And he has that capability to say to somebody, I will give you some of my draft picks if you give me this player that will make the difference to my team. And in retaliation, Mantle has that option as well.
Yeah.
And we as drafters shouldn't let Mantle simply just coast to the title. Because next season, because of him being able to hold on to the majority of his team, he could easily just go and do it again. We should make sure that this remains a challenge. It could come at the cost of the future.
I feel like Phil is one of those, he's a bit of a dark horse. He's like a bit of a stealthy drafter in this sense, because he really gets the trades. He really gets all of that, I think. Mm. And I was talking to him, funnily enough, last weekend and mentioned it. And I was sort of expressing confusion about something. I can't remember. And he was like, no, it's really simple. And then he went, duff, duff, duff. And he just has, like, he has a very clear way of seeing it all. So I think he's got it in him to do that 100%.
Well, Phil is reliant at the moment on Mantle not making a move, which is a pretty safe bet because, as I say, Mantle's happy just to cruise at the moment because he is on top. Phil is reliant on Mantle cruising so that he is the first person to make a move. And when I say make a move, I'm talking making a trade for a player who, for example, in your case, you've gone and done that with Zaha. You have made a move. You've done well because you've set the market cost. It's not going to be easy for other people to make a move. If it had come at a cheaper price, all of a sudden, anyone could have been making a trade and they wouldn't have had to commit as much. There wouldn't be as much fear involved. But at the moment, there's a huge fear factor of the unknown for drafters. And this is where I'm going to lead us back to a man who proclaims to lack fear when it comes to these types of moves and has decided to take up an expression this season of ruthless aggression.
Who could this be?
It's a man who's had his second best player injured through a head injury, and we probably won't be seeing him back in the game for a while. Raul Jimenez took a knock to the head. He was Yare's second pick. I don't think we're going to see him on a football pitch for a while. Yare's team, as we've already mentioned, Wolf is hot on his heels. Yare's team has not been strengthened by the loss of his second best player. Yare is someone who, if you were to listen to the way he speaks, you would think, right, he's going to make that move. However, of negotiations that have been attempted, he's actually been one of those drafters who has been fearful of those moves. All it will take is for either Phil or Mantle or Yare to make one of those moves to put them in the driver's seat for this season. So it'll be interesting to see who's bold enough to make it first. Now, the problem they all have is that what they have to offer is significantly less than everybody else in terms of draft picks. If you were to get a draft pick from Meds, let's say you get a second round pick from Meds and he finishes bottom and you got his second round pick, you would get the pick at the start of that second round off of Meds. Let's say you do a deal with Phil, Mantle or Yare, and whatever they offer you, they're probably going to, if not win by doing that deal, they might finish in the top three. And so whatever they offer you is not worth as much as what, say, a Meds would offer you or pretty much anyone else in the league, because every round pick they offer you is worth basically 15 picks less than, say, Meds, for example. Mm. Then you put into the equation the desire for getting a second star. The price raises again because drafters are aware that no one has won a second star yet. And so when it comes to trading with those people, or specifically those people who are at the top and are really within reach of making that happen, the cost goes up again. So I don't envy those three in terms of making that move, because it's going to take a big move to make it happen. The trade that has then happened after that is I have then traded with Meds,
yeah,
those three picks, and taken on board Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, a man whose form has been horrendous this season.
He's not going to stay horrendous, is he? I don't think.
Well, that's why I've done the trade, because my hope is that that is not the case. Mm-hmm. Arsenal have been appalling so far. Surely they can't get any worse. And of course, I've said that out loud. They will get worse.
They're going to learn
Burnley tomorrow. And the result listeners will already be aware of as I'm speaking. I don't know it, but they've probably lost and Aubameyang's not scored. However, the hope, the reason why for me to do that trade is because I have to hope that Aubameyang will turn his season around. It can't get any worse, really. Arsenal have been terrible. We go to Meds. Meds is now in the driver's seat for next season because he's taken a big hit on this season and it's going to be a struggle for him to get out of the catering zone. But come to next year, he's got three picks in the second, third and fourth round, as well as his own picks. He could build a really strong team and really make a tilt for next season. But he's taken that hit this season. In the same way, somebody winning this season would have to give up a lot for next season. That is a message to all the drafters out there involved in trade negotiations. The cost goes up when you're talking to someone who looks like they could have a nice little walk to the title, because we don't want it to happen twice in a row.
No.
Plenty to happen with trades. I look forward to it. I've had some excellent chats. There's certain people who you just can't trade with. I'm not going to blackball them at this stage. However, I've had some very good chats with Mutlow with regards to trades. We haven't come to an agreement yet. There's always like a slight gap in the bridge, and we haven't got Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock to drive the bus over that gap just yet. But we will get there. How about you, Marcus? Have you had some trade offers come your way?
Well, you know what? It's funny enough. I've written one down because I don't think I've mentioned it yet. But earlier on in the season, earlier than now. And, going back even as a few game weeks ago, as sort of maybe three or four game weeks, people were circling about and chatting about Bamford.
Mm.
Right. The thing is, but using, because obviously we had the short-lived Pookie watch last season.
Yes.
Short-lived because it was very much, he had this burst of form at the beginning of the season and then dipped. I am so glad that I kept on to Patrick Bamford because he has, now I've said it, obviously he's going to have a disastrous two-thirds of the season to go. But like, I'm really pleased I stuck with my guns on this one because he is showing no signs of slowing down. And if earlier on in the season, if I'd have been dragged into that thought process that some people were using Pookie when they were messaging me and saying, oh, this, that and the other, you might want to offload him and this, that and the other.
Mm.
I'm glad I didn't go down that route because
what offers did you have?
Oh, let's have a look. Bear with me one second.
Where it gets interesting because it's not so much that you would want to completely write off trading him away. It's just that you would trade him away for the right price. And the thing with Pookie is, for me, it was quite obvious where that was going. Whereas with Bamford, we don't have another Pookie on our hands with Bamford.
I can't find it now. Oh, hello, mate.
It's definitely from Andy because it started with, hello, mate. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, it's definitely from Andy.
He's gone with a softener.
I think it was just, I don't think it was even an offer. I think he was like going in there and being like, mate, your team's looking good, but blah, blah, be careful of Bamford. But we know Andy and it comes across as like advice. But what it is it's going, oh, actually, good point, Andy. I'll get rid of Bamford. And then Andy would go swooping in for Bamford. Thinking,
oh, interesting. Oh, I've got an offer for you. Andy's there just greasing that pan, ready to bake some cookies.
Yeah. But I mean, so I'm glad I didn't go, oh, yeah, Andy, we all know I like Andy. Andy's a great guy. Andy knows that. And Andy knows I trust him. So it's a good job I didn't trust him that time and get rid of Bamford for whoever. And then he would have been on the free market. And I don't think if I'd have got rid of Bamford, transferred him, I don't think he'd have lasted 5 minutes on the transfer group. I think somebody would have swooped straight in.
Oh, without doubt. But the thing is, we're not in those days anymore. Specifically, when we were speaking about Pookie last year, we said it was about trading. It was nothing to do with like just getting him out of your team. Nothing to do with that. It was about getting a good price at the time. Pookie scored 50 odd points in about seven games, I think it was.
Hmm.
He then scored 80 points in his last 31 games.
Shocking.
That was the warning that came with that discussion that we were having. We had a whole Pookie watch about it. The discussion was, he's not going to play like this for the rest of the season. Thankfully for Nick, it didn't matter. He still managed to win the league. But imagine how easily he would have walked the league last season. He probably would have got a record score if he'd have traded out, say, Pookie for a Vardy at the time, who hadn't scored by that point. Vardy was in the same situation that Aubameyang is in at the moment.
Mm.
He just wasn't turning up. And I'm pretty sure if Nick had turned around to whoever had Vardy, gone, there you go, there's Pookie, give me Vardy. Boom, there you go.
So, exciting times. Bamford's not for sale.
just so everyone, every draft is aware, Bamford's not for sale, unless it's for the right price.
Which is a big price. Transfers and trades, lock and loaded.
More to come on that, folks. It's a new area for us. A lot of opportunities have been opened up, and you can feel the expansion of drafters' minds as the possibilities unfurl in their cognizance.
Just backed out just before it got higher.
Tactical back out.
More to come on that one in the future, I'm sure. So that is everything for this episode on trades.
Let's get on to something that we think the listeners might be interested in. It's the Listener League.
Listener League. Now, I was quite concerned when you said that this was on the list of things to talk about today.
And this sounds like your division is the best place to start, Marcus.
Because my attention hasn't been as fully on the Listener League as it should have been. And I know I've said this before, but I am sitting in a comfortable third position.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Below, I thought The way you approach that, I thought you're going to be like, I don't know, mid-table.
No, you know what? I think this isn't blow my own trumpet. I think I drafted very well because my attention's not been on it as much as it should have been. So I think I'm a bit annoyed because I probably could be doing better if I'd have maybe made a few swaps and changes. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Who's I'm top of your division, Marcus?
The top of my division is the IGG men or the IG men. And that's Ian. He has won 9 and lost only 2. He's sitting up there with 27 points.
Bit of a powerhouse in your division. Well done, Ian.
And then in second place, we've got Cherry Oak Nightmare. Susan.
Is that the team name or the person's name?
No, it's Susan. Susan's team, Cherry Oak Nightmare. They're 8 wins and 2 losses.
What's your record?
Draw. Mine is 8 wins and 3 losses.
You're 8-3. Susan's 8-2 with the draw, and Ian's 9-2.
Yeah,
it's tight at the top there, mate. Well, I've got to say, well done for holding up your end of the bargain. I've got division, what must be division 2 here. Jonathan Wolf representing Ahad in this one. You'll be pleased to know Jonathan Wolf has just leapt to the top of the table.
Has he?
It looks to me as though he was in third the previous week and he's gone to first with a victory. And he's overtaken Rebecca, who was top of that division. Asterisk FC. Are there any actual good team names? There's some all right ones, but we could do better drafters. So that's Johnny. He's holding up his end of the bargain in Division 2. Division 1, Marcus.
Go on.
It is fierce. There's a couple of intense people in this group. I know that because there's like a chat bit, which I looked at the other day, and I was like, wow, there are people trying to tactically trade with each other every time they face me. Thankfully, that's disabled. Yeah, it's called collusion. There's a reason why you can't do it. Ooh, and yeah, we've got a few slightly nefarious listeners drafting in the old Division 1. I guess that's why they're in Division 1. You know, they didn't get there by being Mr. Nice Guy. Anyway, in third place, we've got Ray with FC Carpet Munchen.
No, who's managing that?
That's Ray for you. I prefer that name to some of the names. The names are a little bit lacking. Team names aren't the best. So we'll give it to you, Ray.
Carpet Munchen.
Yeah. In second place is Cinny Wilson. And I said Cinny's name last time, and I think she might have even... She possibly tweeted me to say well done on the pronunciation of my name, but I think I said it about 3 different ways. So I'm not sure if I've got that right. Anyway, Cinny, I know she's from Denmark and she is in second place. She's got 8 wins, 3 losses. She's on 24 points. After a fierce battle with Average last week.
Okay.
Average, by the way, is performing above averagely, is in 6th. In first place is yours truly, in what is a tight scrap at the top. I'm 9-2, 27 points. It's close. There's a battle ahead if Ahad want to win this title. What I've noticed, Marcus, is I'm in a wire-to-wire situation at the moment. But the problem with that is that the way the waiver wire works is you're always at the bottom of the waiver wire. So anytime I've come to make changes, I go and I say, maybe I'll make a change here. And then when it comes through, I'm always at the bottom end of the list every week for those changes because I'm at the bottom of this waiver wire situation. Yeah. So there's almost an argument to tactically be crap the first few weeks and then pick up those players who suddenly become slightly more obvious that they're going to do well this season, because then you can get on a bit of a roll. But I feel like we're representing well in all 3 divisions, Marcus. And I got faith in you, mate, that you can climb back from, well, I say climb back, continue to climb from third to top.
If I win the league, will I get promoted next season?
We will cross that bridge when we come to it.
I put you really on the spot there, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Keeping you on your toes.
Yes, you did. So that's a quick update on the Listener League. Well done to everybody competing. I hope you're enjoying it, folks. Those in Division 1 could stop using the waiver wire. I'd be really grateful. But we wish you all the very best of luck for the rest of the season.
Here we are again, the most wonderful time of the year. It is Draftmas.
Merry Draftmas, Marcus.
Merry Draftmas, Bradley. What's that you're putting on your Christmas tree?
Well, as you can see, it's slightly sparse of decorations. So far, I only had decorations that I could reach in the garage without having to move any boxes. The tree is now being adorned with our drafters in their mascot forms.
All of our drafters wanted to reach out and send their very own messages. Let's take a listen.
It's Andy O'Neill here, manager of Lady Online FC. I've got a Christmas message for drafters and our listeners. It's been a turbulent year with too much to mention in the real world. But it's also been quite the year in Draftland. We've had Greenwood Gate, a legacy league, a rookie champion, one of the worst draft performances of all time. I think we could all do with a relax over the Christmas period. Regardless of who wins what week, I wish all the drafters, past and present, especially Daniel Mantle, my favourite drafter, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, listeners. It's Jonathan Wolfe here, manager of Fairytale Erotica. Just well done, everyone. Best you want to say well done to all my fellow competitors. Well done, everyone. Have a great Christmas and just really good drafting. Keep on drafting, guys. Keep on drafting till the moon comes down and the wolf howls at night.
Hello, AHAD fans. This is Daniel Mantle, manager of Mental Dandies FC, currently top of the league. And we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Stay safe.
Well, it's a bar humbug from the Rude Boys this year. Christmas is cancelled. And you know why? The rest of the draft is really pissing me off. Now, there are baubles on every Christmas tree, but seemingly none going round whatsoever in the draft. And I know every podcast this year is either sponsored by or has an advert for Manscaped. Well, believe me, that's not going to be in any of the stockings of the draft boys this year, because there's nothing there to groom. Everyone's playing it safe. There's no excitement, no risks. Seriously, come on, boys, grow a pair. Give me for Christmas something to be excited about. You lot are doing nothing.
Hello, are you having a draft, friends and family? Happy Christmas from the newest old member of the draft, Chike, manager of Olympic Network. I'd like to dedicate this Christmas special to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Yare Jegbafume, a.k.a. the Cerebral Assassin, and I'm wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Chicky chicky, yeah, yeah. We wouldn't be able to do this without you, fans. We love you all.
Keep it real and the wheels are steel. Chicky chicky, chicky.
Nadolig Llawen, a blwyddyn newydd wesh. I bawb o gyngrair, are you having a draft?
Drafters, Merry Christmas from the supermarket sweepers. Not much to say apart from the fact. But I'm going to be coming for you, Mantle. And you too, Phil. Cheerio.
Hi there, Wolf here. I got COVID from Red Riding Hood. Happy Christmas, listeners.
Ho, 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 motherfuckers. Hello, listeners. Have you been good boys and girls this year? I hope you're enjoying the draft and that Santa brings you all the players you want. Ho, ho, ho.
The Rude Boys are strong supporters of anarchy, chaos, excitement. This is what I want for Christmas. Come on, Santa.
Ho, 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 a Merry Draftmas. And I wish for you all a hat-trick from your captain and a very successful year of drafting ahead. Ho, ho, ho!
Merry Draftsmas, you filthy animals. I'm looking forward to a congested, festive football fixture list and Pipe Dreamers FC climbing up the table where they deserve to be.
Oh,
Well, it's nice to be back, Marcus. It was nice to see your face.
Nice to see you too, and hear those dulcet tones, Bradley, of course.
We may have to bring some of our drafters back. We kept it simple this week, getting back into the game, finding our edge, because we've been away for a hot minute, but we're back. And so we will have some updates. One thing we didn't discuss was the AHAD Cup. And by the time we get to our next episode, the group stages of the AHAD Cup will be complete. It's been exciting. And a lot of drafters have shed some varying emotions over the AHAD Cup.
It's probably best to get some guests in, because if you were talking to me about it, I wouldn't really have much to say at this point.
You would not. You would not. Your cup is over. That is the one giveaway we can hand over at this particular moment in time. Marcus has finished his group stage 0-4. He's not bitter. He's just preparing for next season.
Keeping the squad fresh. We've got our eyes on the title this season.
Thank yous. Firstly, thank you to Jose Palmer, who has been responsible for the photography this season. Excellent job, Jose. Thank you, sir.
We'd also like to say thank you to CJ Pandit for all of our music.
CJ! Been a while, Marcus, but you don't lose it.
That was a special one.
You do not lose it, my friend. Thank you, CJ. We also say thank you to Matthew Melaloo for a lot of his graphic work, a lot of the work you're seeing that appears on social media. Matthew Melaloo has been working some wonders. Thank you, sir. And while we're there, we also say thank you to Kate Bellamy for the design at kate.made.this.
And as always, last but not least, we'd like to say thank you to our wonderful friends and hosts over at Acast.
Thank you, Acast. We appreciate it.
So, until next time,
draft safe.
Ho, 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 motherfuckers.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.